and welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Brian Keller.
I'm Dan Fernandez.
And let's get into our top story.
Yeah, lots of stuff going on for developers, and a huge announcement. This is Mark Witten from the IEB team, and Major Nelson talks about a quote that they are now bringing self-publishing to the Xbox One. So I'll just read the vision. And it's important to say that it's a vision now, because it will take some time to actually get to that vision in terms of all parts. But this is where we're going as a company for self-publishing for Xbox for developers. So our vision is that every person can be a creator, that every Xbox One can be used for development, that every game and experience can take advantage of all the features of Xbox One and Xbox Live. This means self-publishing, it means Kinect, the cloud, achievements. This means discoverability on Xbox Live. We'll have more details on the program in the timeline at Gamescom in August.
That's huge, because previously with, XNA obviously introduced the idea of being able to write your own games, but there were still a lot of areas of Xbox that you could not take advantage of, like achievements.
Kinect. Things on Xbox Live. So there's a number of things where even in our previous publishing platform, and of course all the things around discoverability. The fact that they said discoverability, which is another piece of feedback that certainly came back from developers.
Now, what do you mean by a discoverability?
So there was a feeling that indie games had kind of their own little area in the XNA creator area that wasn't really integrated in everything else. And there's a number of quotes that you can read from Mark Witten in terms of other quotes. But that's kind of the big news coming out, and why I think it's important is developers over time will be able to touch entire surface area of Xbox One and Xbox Live
without a dedicated, like, Xbox developer kit is what you used to have to need to have to do that.
Every person can be a creator.
Yeah.
Every person.
Yep.
This is huge.
Yeah, that's really exciting. Also exciting, IE11 developer preview is available for Windows 7 now. So previously, IE11, of course, ships with Windows 8.1, but they are bringing that back to Windows 7. And so if you're a developer, you want to make sure your sites look good, you want to check out the new F12 developer tools, which are awesome, getting rave reviews from people that have started
WebGL
to try those.
WebGL support.
Yes, you can.
We'll
now
talk about that a little later too.
Yep, you can now grab that IE11 developer preview for Windows 7, and no new features is actually a story here. do you want to talk about this one, Dan?
Yeah, absolutely. So Matt Sorensen talks about some of the things on where the team is going right now in terms of VB and C# language features in VS 2013. So there's probably two key points to take away here, and one is kind of what's going on right now with the re-implementation of language services and compilers using the Roslyn project.
Right.
So that's what the team is really heads down on, making sure for the VS 2013 timeframe,
right,
for lack of a better word, and Mads discusses that. And also talks about, like, you know, both, and that Anders is still working, obviously, on VB and C# language design, and that they're working on a number of language features going forward.
Right. We linked to the Charles Torre interview with Anders Heilsberg last week. And so if you watched that, you heard Anders talking a lot about how important it is to make sure that they have really first-class compatibility for all the existing code moving over to the Roslyn compilers before they can start thinking about doing any new work on top of that, which exposes new functionality.
And, you know, well, obviously the old system is great, but the ability with Roslyn is it lets them actually add more language features at a faster rate. So it really just increases their efficiency and agility.
That's right. And also, I don't think it's mentioned in this article, but I can confirm there's no new J# features in this release either.
There are. I think we can confirm that every year.
Okay. Well, you know, keeping you up to speed. So, MS Build. MS Build is now part of Visual Studio. Of course, MS Build has shipped in, you know, Visual Studio and .NET Framework for a while for actually compiling your applications. But what this article summarizes is the new strategy moving forward, where the MS Build tools will also ship with Visual Studio, and they'll be versioned to that release of Visual Studio as well. So they're kind of tied together with the Visual Studio tooling. So for those of you that need to write your own MS Build tasks, now you know where to get them. And you can also get the standalone download for MS Build as well. So I think they call it Microsoft Build Tools. So if you want to install that on a machine that doesn't have the full-blown Visual Studio installed.
Cool. So next story is kind of interesting. It's the idea of, if you have the Skype Windows Store app installed, there are a series of URIs that you can send to actually do different things with Skype. So if you see the list on the right, you can actually do things, for example, like call. You can have a specific name for a person that you're going to do. Audio call hyphen Skype hyphen com, and then the actual name, right, to call an actual user. So Brian Keller.
So this is from my own Windows Store app. I'm launching into from the Skype app.
Yeah, from anything, right? It's a point of extensibility, mm-hmm. that now we have a URI that we can use to programmatically do things like call, chat, SMS, and so on.
That's great. And so speaking of being able to launch apps, this is a great article from Nokia. I love their developer blog. They really have some great posts to talk about building for a Windows phone. And this article summarizes some of the things we've talked about in the past, which is how do you launch your application from a URI. So that could be from a tile. It could be from another application. How do you launch right into the app and provide that context into your application so that it might do a certain thing based on the way that you're launching it. And of course, if you missed, I think it was last week on the show that we talked about the HERE launcher. So if you're using the HERE maps, which are all available for all Windows Phone 8 devices now, you can also take advantage of that functionality within your application. So just lots of great, you know, momentum for Windows Phone developers coming out of the Nokia camp.
Cool. Very cool. So Unity. If you're interested in, you don't know about Unity. Unity is a tool set designed to help you build games better, faster, and so on. So the nice thing is, with Unity, the basic software is free and it lets you target Windows Store and Windows Phone. Now, if you were a pro developer, like you were using Unity Pro, their for-pay product, you actually, if you wanted to target Windows Store and Windows Phone, you'd have to pay a fee. That fee is now zero. Mm. So it is completely free if you have the pro product to actually target those platforms. So we had done a full day training on Unity, and there's a number of good things that I think people will like and enjoy on getting and understanding how to build Unity games that you all should definitely check out. And that content already exists on Channel 9. And the reason why is because we are giving, there's a contest right now for targeting Windows and Windows Phone with 100,000 dollars
wow.
in prizes. 30,000 for first place for both Windows and Windows Phone, and you can read the details there. So just a huge thing, and your application will actually be promoted as well. So it's not just the prize money, it's the promotion of your app.
That's awesome.
So get started, download now, and we'll go halvesies.
Sounds good. So so Dan, tell me about Owen and Katana. Sounds like Ninja Turtles or something.
Yeah, so everyone remembers Owen, who was... if you remember from the lore, book 3. So Owen is the open web interface. And the idea is you build sort of a general purpose interface that allows you to separate middleware from application. And the reason you want to do this is because, let's say there's something like basic authentication that you want to be able to use in middleware, like say you're using SignalR, and then you're using some other tool, then you're using something else. Everybody has to re-implement that. Mm. Instead of doing that, what if we had like sort of a common interface, if you will, that allows you to reuse these different parts? So it's really about removing dependencies and enabling things for reuse.
Okay.
And so that is what the specifications call the Open Web Standards Interface.
It's an abstraction layer, if you will.
Yeah, that is literally a specification. The implementation of that by Microsoft is called Katana.
Okay.
So Katana is, hey, there's this Owen spec. Here's how we built it. And it's available on CodeBlock, so you can actually use it and start looking at what it all means.
Okay. And this is an article about how to get started using that. So that's
And really explains kind of like what is the problem that Owen and Katana try and solve.
Got it. Great article this week from Scott Hanselman. He talks about Glimpse, using Glimpse with ASP.NET. And of course, Glimpse is something we've talked about in the past, and he shows how easy it is to get started using Glimpse. And he says that this is his kind of de facto profiler / F12 tooling experience that he uses. And he adds this to any new projects that he gets started with. And so Glimpse, what it does is it provides you with a lot of inspection tools and services about your application. But what's interesting is that rather than being a a client-side plugin, this is actually implemented as part of your app using JavaScript. So you could use it from a mobile device, even if you don't have the F12 tools, you know, on the client side there. So really, really cool project. I had forgotten that this was originally previewed at Mix 11, I believe.
Yeah, I remember actually talking to Scott the first time he saw it. I was like, this is awesome. This is, and he was like bringing people, like PMs from the ASP.NET team to check it out.
Yeah, so a lot of momentum. Really good getting started article by Scott, as usual.
So next story is Babylon Game Effects. So this is kind of a .1 release, and the idea here, it's a framework to help you build HTML5 WebGL games in a few lines of code. That is the underlying goal. So it's a series of JavaScript files that abstract out certain things and make it easy for you to, for example, like, hey, here's where I'm going to load my model. Here's the vector space it's going to be in, you know, XYZ. Mm-hmm. And then do certain other things, for example, like abstract out keyboard, abstract out touch, and it uses a number of things to make it easier to reuse best practices for touch so that it uses across browsers. So if you're looking to build a WebGL graphics or games, you should definitely check out this framework. It's one of those that'll just help you in terms of using.
Great. So that brings us to the picks of the week. So this is awesome. This is kudos to Greg for finding this one. So this is by Mike Sissis. Sure, I'm about Patrick's name. Anyway, you remember the game Berserk?
Of course.
For Atari. I used to play that game for hours, and what I never knew about it was that the maps themselves are actually generated by an algorithm. And so what this guy and a group of other folks did is they actually went back and they used MAME to look at the actual hex values for those maps, and from that they reverse engineer the algorithm that's used to generate these maps.
That's
and so
awesome.
The idea is that instead of taking up the valuable storage real estate to actually store all of these maps, which I'm sure, you know, probably would only be a few K anyway,
right?
They just use an algorithm to programmatically generate these maps each time, and it's just same maps every time because they have the same seed value. So yeah, very cool.
That's hilarious.
And now that will improve my Berserk game, and I will make it to, you know, a new high score.
Well, what we'll do is that the WebGL version of this, so instead of just 2D lane space,
there
we're actually flying through the air, and those are spaceships.
Absolutely, that's awesome.
So my pick of the week is actually Ron Jacobs has fun. And for those of you who may remember Ron, he actually was an extensive publisher on Channel 9.
Arcast
TV, and certainly a number of other shows, and was on Endpoint TV and so on. And he's always been a great contributor to Channel 9. So Ron was diagnosed with Durkheim's disease. And the way it's described is it's like having a bad flu, where you kind of don't want to get out of bed, and then you get non-cancerous tumors all over your body that are incredibly painful. So you can read Ron's story. It's actually, it just sounds like a really bad thing. Like he mentioned, he's now on narcotics medicine and had to get it increased about 10 times from the amount of pain.
Yeah.
So it just sounds really bad, and obviously a number of us feel for him. And one of the nice things is there is a potential experimental treatment available, and they're looking for donations. So AKMS help Ron to be able to donate to the Ron Jacobs Durkheim's Disease Fund.
Yeah, we would love to see, you know, anybody that can contribute even a few dollars, I think would go a long way to showing the love from the Channel 9 community. Ron's one of these guys that I learned a lot about how to create screencasts and how to create high quality developer content from Ron. He just had a great way of describing things like Windows workflow and WCF and these things he was passionate about. And I remember I would be on the road at conferences and I would run into Ron. I would be coming back from the bars at 6 o'clock in the morning, and he would be coming back from his morning run, just a super healthy guy, and just
he's a guy
all
who ran
of a sudden,
marathons.
Yeah, just a great guy. So we would love to have you help him out if you feel compelled and have a few dollars to spare. So Ron, we're with you from the Channel 9 family. We're thinking about you, and we hope you get through this, buddy.
Thanks.
See you next week.